That'll do it. Give the musicians a hand. How nice. Randy used not talk till he got married and then run in his mouth. That boy can sing. She can't talk at home, he got to talk down here. I told you not to marry over your head. All right, SOS, we're glad you're here. Be sure to thank Pam and H. Lee for allowing us to be here as you see them through the week. They are, yes, sir, always. Yep, for those of you who don't know, they allow us to be here all year, and then they provide us a place in the winter generally, and I'm praying he'll get to providing real soon and let me know about it. Not fun out here in a fur coat. All right. Bible study, 7 o'clock Monday night at the Sleep Inn Motel, Highway 17 North, mile and a half or so from where you turn off to the Wilmington Highway. You need to be there. It's getting late. The journals that my wife put together and I diligently left at home will be here next week. And you can pick up one of those. Redheaded Susie, formerly Susie Jarrett, you know Dancing Susie with the Hall of Fame. Precious girl. They moved to Texas. Her mother gets a tape every week. Connie sends it to her. Her name is Dean Jarrett. I said, well, we need to mention her name, and she'll hear it on the little tape and be thrilled. And at church time every Sunday, she can't go to church, so she just sits down, plays her tape recorder, and has that at home, and we thank her for that, and we'll continue to pray for her. If you're not on the prayer list, get on it. Susie will get your name. If you have a computer, email. Susie does, sends out all the requests all week, night and day, and we pray for people, and a lot is accomplished. Are the folks who I'm supposed to marry after this service here? All right. Good to see you. Yeah. All right. There's another man over his head. He better talk to Randy. I better talk fast because she's going to get out of here. Oh, me. All right. And if you want to attend that wedding, it'll be right out there. Right as soon as the service is over. Need some help with the tents this morning, putting them down. And there's no way you can get 400 rednecks together without somebody having a pickup truck. And then, who's got... Bob had to go to Charlotte. Somebody's got a pickup truck. Go ahead. We don't smell kerosene on you. Raise your hand. You got one? Who's got one? You mean there's not a pickup truck in this house? Who? If you will... afterwards, and they'll follow Bob here. Get with Bob. He takes the speakers, and if y'all will do that and y'all load him up, then we'll have him again next week. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. And all the help you folks get with the chairs and everything else we do. Some of you miss OS. Is this your first time here? First time in this type thing? Don't have many. Have a few first-timers. We thank you for that. Some returning back again. All right. If you go through Columbia today, tell Lou Holtz that Georgia indeed thanks him for that game they gave them last night. What a gift. What a gift. All right, so we're glad you're here. Can everybody hear? Sometimes we get complaints. I couldn't hear. Here out under the tent here. You all right, Mary? Here? MR, you all right back at the back? Okay. We're okay. Yay! Yay! Larry finally did it. finally dialed us right in there. Isn't that good? Oh, me. Okay, if you brought a Bible, and the Gideons put them in those motels to be read. They're in the drawer there right by the table. If you turn to Matthew 18:11, the parable of the lost sheep. A very short parable, as we teach you here. A parable is an earthly story that reveals heavenly truths. You can always tell it's a parable because it won't call anybody's name. If it calls somebody's name, it's a fact. If it doesn't call their name, it's just an illustration. Noah has a name. The flood was a fact. Ask anybody drowned. But this is a parable, and we shall read it, pray, and expound the scriptures. We thank you for being here. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Verse 11. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, does he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seek that which is gone astray? And if so be that he findeth, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it's not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Christ Jesus. Thank you that we can meet by the seaside. Provided us with such wonderful weather that we could meet here in the fall of the year to worship you, glorify you, and preach thy word. May all honor, praise, and glory go unto you. We pray, Lord Jesus, as always, that you remove me from this place, that you be heard. That anything I should say that should be forgotten, please make it so, and all that should be remembered, please have it so. May the church be edified. May the backslider be reclaimed. And please save the man nearest hell. In Christ's name I pray. And for his sake, amen. This parable is short. Don't get too happy. The sermon isn't. We start with verse 11. Of course, it says the Son of Man, which is one of the identifying names of Christ Jesus. He liked to be called the Son of Man more than any other name, more than any other title. This identified him with mankind. And it says he has come to save which was lost. And if you come from somewhere, you had to have been somewhere. We do this at SOS. We see different people and to introduce ourselves and have a little conversation. How you doing? Where are you from? And I said, well, I'm from Charlotte or Social Circle, Georgia, or Frog Level, or wherever they may be from. I saw a pretty girl in here yesterday. My wife's in the fishing tournament. Not going to come up here for sure. I eased over and said, hey, honey, where are you from? Where'd you come from? She said, right over yonder. And I said, never mind. No, you scared us any further. When Jesus came, he came from somewhere. Where'd he come from? He tells people later that he was the bread who came from heaven. Here is part of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus, who manifested himself in the flesh and willingly came from glory, willingly came from perfection, willingly came where there were no tears and suffering, willingly came and made a choice to come into a world of confusion, into a place of sin, into a place with tears and sickness and sorrow. And you say, that was a pretty good deal, wasn't it? Why would anybody willingly leave where he was to come here? had to be a good motivation behind that to bring somebody out. I used to live at Jekyll Island, Georgia, and had considerable more income than I have now. And it was just a place where the choice of the day was to play tennis or golf. And we used to laugh at the big part of the United States and say, wonder what they're doing today. We are on paradise. Golf courses run by the state. You couldn't work unless you'd done time at Disney World. Somebody drop a piece of paper, first hop, it was gone. They kept it beautiful, and I mean, it's the closest thing to heaven on earth, I would imagine, that you can find. And we didn't like to willingly leave there. I mean, your first stop was Brunswick, Georgia. And then it was swamp right or swamp left to Savannah or Jacksonville. And we liked it there. And even as pretty as that was, here's Jesus who willingly and chose to leave the glories of heaven where people are worshiping him to come and be part of us. Must have been a good purpose behind that. So we ask ourselves, if this man indeed came, then why did he come? And the first verse tells us, to seek and to save that which was lost. You see, the world's lost. Gave it to man, man gave the deed to the devil, and that was the end of that. Not only did man get lost from God, God got lost from man. Did I need to take this back? We need to do this over. Somebody's got to pay the price for that world, and I'll have to make myself into a human being. And I'll go down there and settle this. What a purpose. Came to save the lost. The lost world. The lost individual. Some people don't understand that it's not just you who loses God and you're out on your own trying to fight things, as we'll explain the sheep do, but God loses you. And as much as you hate to find yourself in that position in life, and sometimes you find it where you're completely out of touch with God. If you don't know him as Savior, you've never called on him, you've never known him. If you do, depending on how close you are to him, the severity of the pain grows. There's no worse place to be than to be a man who knows the Bible, a man who has sat under preachers who knew it for years, who studies and learns and makes that his life work, and then one day you find yourself separated from that God. Worst place in the world for a Christian to be. Bob Harrington, Bourbon Street chaplain, went down, did a wonderful work there. They had him on television. They were going to make the TV. Finally, when them honeys got to him, left his wife, ran off of her, went into sales motivation. 10,000 people would show up, and they'd pay him big money to do that. And it was fine while you were there, but 30 minutes later in the motel room, when you're by yourself again, and that contact with God has been broken, it is lonely and dreary, and you wish you're dead. That went on with Bob for 20 years, one of the best preachers God ever put on the earth. And just last year, an old preacher out of Ohio said, I wonder what Bob's doing. His wife said, I don't know. He said, I'm going to find him. Got on the phone and found him, and found him in a hotel room, seven stories up, Holiday Inn. And he had reached the end and was getting ready to jump out the window. And the phone rang. He said, Brother Bob! Hello. Wouldn't you like to come home? The boy started bawling, started crying. Yeah, I sure would. He said, let's pray, son, and then let's meet. And he did, and as of that, Bob Harrington is back in the pulpit back preaching reconciliation to pastors who have gone astray, and sinners, and Christians who have gone astray and thought it was over. And he's got the greatest ministry of reconciliation on the face of the earth right now. I said, God bless him. Saw him the other day, 72 years old. And that thing should never be cut. It should never be lost. This is what happens to the sheep. You see, he came to seek and to save the sheep. They often use the parable of sheep and the illustration of sheep because sheep are helpless, don't have any upper teeth. They can't bite you. They don't have any claws. They are defenseless. An animal in a world that a sheep can defeat. Totally helpless. And that's why he picks us and calls us his sheep. And the shepherd of that day was totally in charge of the sheep, and the sheep was helpless without him. And if he had 100 sheep, as the illustration goes, and at nighttime, and you remember if you were here, if you weren't, you should have been, when we preached the 23rd Psalm and go into detail of the care a shepherd has for a sheep. Shepherd will check everyone as he comes into the fold and tilt his head back, check his throat, look into his eyes. He can tell what sicknesses he has. Check him for burrs and cuts, anoint him with oil, water him down, find him a place to sleep. Everyone, no matter how many he's got. And this shepherd was doing this, and he did 99, and the last one wasn't there. Where is he? Where is he gone? And it would... You and I might say, well, 99, you know, you got 99 out of 100. It's been a long day. One sheep can't matter that much if you got 100. Let it go. Just let it go. He said, no. No, no, there is no one sheep that's more important to the shepherd than any other sheep. As it is with the Lord Jesus, there is no one man. The Bible said he's no respecter of persons. Don't care how your prestige level and the elks and the moose and the mice and all those that you join and present of this and, you know, badges for that. And that's all good and all, and everybody likes accomplishment. But in his eyes, it's all level. It's all level. No respecter of person. And the shepherd, you see, knows his area well, just like you do your yard. At Easter time, you hide the eggs for the little kids and you know where the little crevices are and the little hiding places and the fork in the tree and the rock it'll lift up. And understand, the shepherd knows his area exactly like that. He knows where that sheep can get in trouble. He knows where he can be hurt. And that, of course, is an illustration of the Lord Jesus. And the Bible tells us that God's eyes roam to and fro about the earth. Please don't ever think you did anything in secret or that you ever will. And he knows every hiding place and every crevice, and he's trying to find the sheep, and the sheep has gone astray. But please notice, the shepherd never leaves the sheep. He doesn't take 99 to the fold and take the little stubborn one, the little red-headed one, and say, look, you, if you're not going into the fold, you can stay out here all night and you're on your own. He didn't do that. It's the sheep who goes astray. It's the sheep who chooses to leave the care of the shepherd. He's in a perfect situation. Maybe he doesn't know he is. Maybe something attracts him away from that. And you say, I don't know what it could be. You don't. What are you doing down here? You were home with your wife, had a nice job and a house, and called me to get you out of jail. See how we do? I'm going to call you and then put me back in. It's the sheep who chooses to go astray. Greener grass, you know, on the other side of the fence. You ever seen a cow near a fence who was eating on his side of it? Sticks his head through that barbed wire every time. Got to be better out there. No, it isn't. There's only trouble out there, and the shepherd knows that. He said, please don't leave me. Stay with the flock. You'll be all right if you just stay with the flock. But the sheep said no. And he's gone. So the shepherd secures the other sheep. He puts them in the fold and waters them and anoints their head with oil and checks for briars. And then he says, well, I've got to go and find the missing sheep. So he starts. Because his concern is so great for that one. He can't just lay down and go sleep. He can't just let it go. And he's very patient. He will search and search and all those crevices and all that land he knows so well, like the back of his hand. He will search until there's absolutely no hope to find that sheep. Some sheep get back in the fold and some don't. What turns the sheep around? What makes him get out in the world and then come back? You see, he gets out there and faces dangers he didn't know was there. The shepherd knew that the eagle can come and pick up a baby lamb with no trouble, and he's lunch. He's gone. He knows several other ravenous animals hide in the bush, and all he needs to hear is a little sheep bleating, and that's the dinner bell. The lamb doesn't know they're there. He's not aware that they exist. They're out there to destroy him, and we're told that a devil that you can't see, principalities and powers that you know not of, are that which you fight on a daily basis. God knows where they are. You don't. He will defeat them. They will tear you limb from limb. Don't leave him. Don't go from his side. Sometimes the lamb returns home because the sufferings were too great. He wasn't out there long before he got hung up in a briar, and then he's bleeding. Now he steps on some loose rocks and falls, and he's cut, and he looks for the water, and it isn't there, and it's just the suffering's too much. Goes back home. Good. Sometimes the trials are too hard, and he just can't make it. And he goes back home where he should be. Good. Sometimes it's his heart, and he remembers when he gets away, and you've been there, and so have I. Get a long way from home because your parents were so stupid, had no idea what they were doing. You don't know how they got that house and car and food and clothes they gave to you. Somehow they managed, but they were so dumb, you just had to get out of there. And you got so far away, and then people didn't care anymore, and nobody provided the food, and the money went away, and nobody loaned you a car, and you didn't have a place to live, and boy, mama got to looking good. Daddy wasn't all that bad, and your heart brought you back home. Good. It was Mark Twain who left home at 18, came back at 21. He left arrogant, and you know, he said he left because his daddy was so stupid. Came back at 21, broke, undone, looking for a meal and a place to stay. Stayed about a week. He said, boy, I'm surprised how much that old man learned 3 years. Well, he already knew. Your memory will bring the sheep back. He'll get out and remember how kind that shepherd was and who stopped the bleeding and who went and got water when there wasn't any. And he said, you know, I think I'll go home. And his memory brings him. Sometimes it's his conscience. Somehow he just knows he's done wrong. And so you think animals have a conscience? You never own a dog. Own a dog and scold him and watch him, the eyes and the he knows very well he's done something wrong. He might can't define it, but he knows he did it. Sometimes that happens to us. Our conscience gets us. We come in places we shouldn't be with people we shouldn't be with. And we meant just to have a little fun, but then the world brought us in and something looked appealing, and there came the danger signs, and you didn't see them or you ignored them, and now your conscience has got you. The shepherd himself has some problems in going to seek the little lamb. It's always not easy. It's never easy. He's got a problem. Can he find you soon enough? We have people who come here. We have a youth group, and we're glad they're here back at the back. But most people who come here are 45 to be kind and over. Been in church all your life or knew about it. Put it off, didn't pay attention, and God's saying, I'm trying to reach you, and he's the shepherd, and can he find you soon enough, because time is passing and others are looking for you. Sometimes the sheep would get too far gone. It isn't that the shepherd quit caring, it's just that he would fall in a crevice. You know from the 23rd Psalm that he carries a rod and a staff, and the staff is the crooked one. And the reason why it's crooked is not to look good at the Christmas play. The reason it's crooked is when a sheep falls in a crevice and the shepherd can't reach him, he lowers that hook down, then turns it under the sheep's forearms and pulls him back up. But you see, if he isn't there to guide the flock away from the big crevices, and the sheep goes out on his own and he falls in a big one, I'm sorry, he's just gone. He's too far down. He cannot be reached. So all that, I remember the thief on the cross, and I'm going to wait till my last 20 minutes. I think that over real good. I would think that over real, real good. Because you can get too far away from the flock and the shepherd to where you can't be reached. It was a problem of, was the sheep already dead? Had the animal gotten to him? Had a robber gotten to him? Had a large bird gotten to him? Had the fall in a crevice gotten to him? Had doing without water so long done him in and no food? Is he already gone? You see, the shepherd can't just continually look for you. Though he'll continually love you, he can't put the 99 at risk just for your sake. He can't say, well, I'll stay out here another week and hope somebody feeds the others. No, he'll give you a fair shot and a little bit more, and then the search is over. You're on your own. One of the key tools of the shepherd to use to find the sheep has gone away is the shepherd's voice. It's the most amazing thing, the Bible says, that Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And we do. And if you went to a sheep field today, either here or in the old country, and you'd see them pass on a narrow pathway, and there'd be 400 sheep coming this way and 300 that way, and all sheep look alike. And they get jumbled up, mixed up, turned around, and nobody knows whose is who. And the shepherds just go right through the middle of them. Hey, how you doing? Good, good to see you. What's new? So-and-so. How are things in Jericho? All right. Water good down there? Yeah, okay. Well, see you on the return trip. He'll just walk through all the sheep, and he'll walk through all his. He'll get on the other side, and he'll call his, and not one of his sheep will go that way. Everyone he owns will follow his voice. And I don't care what this shepherd does to try to keep those sheep. They know their shepherd's voice, and they'll be there, and he'll leave with his, and he'll leave with theirs. It's just a miracle. It's unbelievable until you see it. The problem with the shepherd's voice is the shepherd can only speak so loud. Sometimes you can get out of the range and you are too far away to hear the shepherd. Sometimes this is done without your awareness, and sometimes it is because you're the one who cut the TV off when Billy Graham came on. And you're the one who changed the dial on the radio because it just happened to, not by accident, get an old preacher that all he wanted to do was keep you from going to hell. And you turned the dial because you didn't want to hear it. And the revival comes to the church, and you can't surely spend an hour a day for 5 or 6 days to go down there. I mean, after all, what do they want from you? And well, I did go to church. Let's see, I believe, wasn't it right after Easter where we went there two Sundays in a row? Put yourself out of the shepherd's hearing. How you gonna hear without a preacher? The scripture asked rhetorically. You're not. Sometimes the sheep has gone so far, he is so weak, he can't hear. It happened at the towers that we are still in mourning for. There were people under that rubble who were alive and could have been rescued, and we're not blaming anybody. It's just that they were too weak to call when they heard the people come and try to save them. They just couldn't call out. It's too weak. Too late. There were people who couldn't hear. They were buried under dirt behind walls and could not hear. And they were yelling for help. Please help us. We're trapped here. Please, here we are. And nobody could hear. Too late. Couldn't answer those who were saying, is anybody in there? How sad to get yourself so far away from the shepherd's voice that you can't even hear the one who desires to help you. And if you do hear it, you turn a deaf ear. How sad. And then some of the sheep they would find, and oh, there he is. We finally found him. Thank the Lord, here he is. I found my sheep. But only to find that he was dying. Too late. Couldn't do anything about it. Just had to watch the life ebb out of him, and just too late. I was putting what I can together for a sermon for you this weekend, and was riding down through town, 17 business, and up near where we used to live, and I saw a police car over the side of the road on the left near the median, and said, well, what's happened here? I hope it's not a child or something. Somebody's had a wreck and slowed down and got to the front, and I was glad it wasn't a wreck and anybody hurt, but what I saw made me cry. Somebody's beautiful Cocker Spaniel. 35, 40 pounds. He was gorgeous. Thought he had found freedom when he left the owner's yard and decided to cross that busy four-lane street and only made it through one and a half. And the police were there and they were trying to do something. It was too late. He was dying. Unnecessary. Didn't have to happen. He didn't learn to stay by his master's feet. A lesson you and I need to learn. Verse 13 has an interesting word in it. It says, if he finds him. Doesn't mean the shepherd's going to find him. It doesn't mean God's going to find you, though he keeps looking and sending the preachers and sending the neighbors and people send you tapes and the TV and the radio and the bumper stickers and the little Are You Born Again on the pine tree. It might be spelled wrong, but he got the message right. And he keeps looking for you, and he may not find you. That's a big if in there. If he finds you, he may not find you because you're not willing to be found. And somebody a while ago said, well, I keep inviting my neighbors and they keep saying they're coming, but they never come. I said, keep inviting them. Not willing to come. Can't chain you, bring you down here. If we did, you wouldn't listen anyhow. What would the point be? Had to be willing to hear his voice and willing to be found. Careless about it. Well, what do you know about Scripture? Nothing. What do you know about Jesus? I don't know. Seemed to be a good guy. What do you know about God? I never have time to think about. Just, well, where did you go to church? Now, I went when I was a kid. My mother made me go, and I ain't going back. And just careless about it. Well, what if they're right? Well, I never thought about that, obviously. Sometimes the sheep is so numb. He's been numbed by the care. Well, look at there. I thought we had green grass where we were. I mean, the other 99 will be sorry about this. And in he goes right to the green grass circle and starts eating. And what he forgot was the other place, the shepherd went before him and took that rod he carries and killed the poisonous snakes. But he found this table on his own, and it wasn't prepared in the presence of his enemies. And in he goes, allured by the better. And there one is, and hits him, and he's dead. Numb to the fact that the scriptures are true. They aren't a maybe. They're not myths. They're not stories. They're not something written by man. You can't dovetail something over a 1400-year period written by 40 different people that most never saw each other and have all of it dovetail like this with no error and no contradiction. You can't do that with every computer they'll ever invent. That has to be of God. Well, I just, you know, I was so busy, I got to learn to kick back, else I'm just not going, well, you 50, you should already know how to kick back. Got time for that? Okay. Some aren't aware they're lost. You can ask them, lost, they'll say, lost from what? Lord have mercy. Told a story the other week. Some of you knew, you need to hear it. Frankie, our little buddy we help, is cystic fibrosis. God bless him. Took him to the doctor at the hospital, as they do about every week. And the doctor said, we ain't going to keep you over the weekend. He said, no, sir. Got to be in church on Sunday. He said, I'm sorry, son. You're going to be here on Sunday. He said, I'm sorry, sir. I'm going to be in church on Sunday. He said, well, why is it so important? He said, I was lost. And now I'm found. And they're going to baptize me Sunday, and I'm going to be a preacher, and I got to be there. And the doctor made fun of him and said, well, I'm sorry you were lost, and I'm glad they found you, but you're going to be here Sunday. And generally, a doctor intimidates a kid, not Frankie. He looked that man dead in the eye. Said, don't you know who Jesus is? Don't you know what he can do? Preached him a little sermon. Friday, Frankie left the hospital. Went to church, got baptized, came back to the hospital the next Thursday. And the doctor came in smiling and said, Frankie.
Yeah.
I want to thank you for your sermon. He said, what sermon? He said, that when you preached to me last week. He said, this week I was found. Gave him a hug. You see, the shepherd runs out of time sometime. He said, well, God can't run out of time. I know, but you can. He runs out of time looking for you and has to go on because there's no response. And you say, boy, that sounds harsh. I don't know how you missed it. It was right at the first of the book. Genesis 6:3 said, my spirit will not always drive with me. Proverbs 29 will tell you that he being often reproved hardens his neck. And suddenly he's destroyed without remedy. Well, I've heard that, Granny, and you go ahead and rock in the chair, and I know you love Jesus, and that's good for you, but I'm into other things. Okay. I'm glad in the end. I'm in.
And he said,
favorite songs.
need the load of guilt and shame. But then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same, because something wonderful happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, and since He cleansed and made me whole, well, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout so wonderful happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. You see, something so wonderful happened, and if tomorrow all the things were gone I'd worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife, I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, where the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. An American where at least I know I'm free, and I won't forget the man who died who gave that right to me, and I'd gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, and across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say that I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free, And I won't forget the man who died, who gave that right to me. And I'd gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the man who died, who gave that right to me. And I'd gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. Thank you. God bless America.
That'll do it. Give the musicians a hand. How nice. Randy used not talk till he got married and then run in his mouth. That boy can sing. She can't talk at home. He got to talk down here. I told you not to marry over your head. All right, SOS, we're glad you're here. Be sure to thank Pam and H. Lee for allowing us to be here. As you see them through the week, they are, yes, sir, always. Yep. For those of you who don't know, they allow us to be here all year, and then they provide us a place in the winter generally. And I'm praying he'll get to providing real soon and let me know about it. Not fun out here in a fur coat. All right. Bible study, 7 o'clock Monday night at the Sleep Inn Motel, Highway 17 North, mile and a half or so from where you turn off to the Wilmington Highway. You need to be there. It's getting late. The journals that my wife put together and I diligently left at home. We'll be here next week. And you can pick up one of those. Redheaded Susie, formerly Susie Jarrett, you know Dancing Susie with the Hall of Fame. Precious girl. They moved to Texas. Her mother gets a tape every week. Connie sends it to her. Her name is Dean Jarrett. I said, well, we need to mention her name, and she'll hear it on the little tape and be thrilled. And at church time every Sunday, she can't go to church, so she just sits down, plays her tape recorder, and has that at home. And we thank her for that, and we'll continue to pray for her. If you're not on the prayer list, get on it. Susie will get your name. If you have a computer, email. Susie sends out all the requests all week, night and day, and we pray for people, and a lot is accomplished. Are the folks who I'm supposed to marry after this service here?